Last week on Jack Unmasked.
Royal York Hotel, Boston Bruins, Teddy Green, music, Maple Leaf Garden. Milky Schmidt was the coach. And you put that bag under your bed, he said, or music for a pillow. Teddy was the only goalie. They had defensemen come in and played the rest of the game and play goal. You can believe this is the National Hockey League. New York Rangers, jockstrap and everything. I mean, what are you going to use? But when you've only got one goalie there, what are you going to do?
Well, welcome to the Jack Norris Podcast. We like to call it Jack Unmasked. Hockey stories from the 60s and 70s. Proudly brought to you by the Simply Grounded Coffee Gallery in downtown Duluth. We hope you enjoy reminiscing about hockey as much as we do. So, without further ado, let's chat with Jack. We've got Jack on the line here. Jack, how are things down there today?
Pretty warm. She's hot down here and beautiful. I love it. It's great down here. I can't live in that snow back home anymore. I'm getting too old to shovel snow.
Yeah, so who is shoveling your snow, by the way?
you, I hope.
No, that's all right. I heard you guys had the perfect day the other day, Mom was telling me.
For what?
For your golfing there. It was like the perfect day.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was. We golf on a nice course here. It's beautiful. It's just, it's got water, it's got everything, and just people just love playing it. So
yeah.
And then, of course, on the 10th hole is the best part of the whole thing. It's our happy hour.
Of course.
That's the best part.
You guys only play 9 holes, right?
Yep.
Yeah. That's good. Hey, you can't play 18. You guys get too tired, and then it cuts into your happy hour.
that's right.
Yes. So, Jack, you've got to meet some interesting people down there. One of them is the assistant coach, the linebacker coach for the Edmonton Eskimos, Demetrius Maxey. You've had actually an interesting chat with him lately, haven't you? Tell us a little bit more about that.
He's won 5 Grey Cups, and and he's got friends in the NFL. And he told me, I was really surprised at.
What's that?
And I said, what do you think of the CFL? Like, is it not as good as the NFL? He says the player talent is identical because you're getting all the players from down in the NFL. But he says the only thing is your crowds. You don't have nearly the crowd that you get in the NFL.
No, that's right. Yeah.
You can get 70, 80,000 to a game where here, if you get 30, it's a pretty good crowd. That's a lot. In fact, Toronto, look at Toronto, Montreal.
Yeah, that's true, hey?
So,
but he thinks the players are pretty much just as good as the majority of the players down there.
That's what he says. He said they're just as good.
Really? That's interesting, isn't it?
That's what he says. Yeah, I was surprised when he said that.
Well, I guess. I mean, there's only, whatever it is, 30 teams in the NFL. I'm not even 100% sure, but... And then you take...
Yeah.
And all of the college teams they have down there and everything else, like there's hundreds of them, and players play for 10 years. It's tough to make it, right? It's almost like as hard as making the NHL when there were split 6 teams, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, that's cool. That's actually pretty interesting.
Yeah, I thought that too when he said that. I was saying, what? Are you serious? He says, yeah, tell me. He says, CFL's a good league, he said. The only problem is you don't get the fan support that you get like in the NFL.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, do you want to get started into this?
Yep, do it.
Okay. All right. Well, so last week we left off. You had got called up to Boston to fill in for Eddie Johnston when he had his hand that was cut. So you were staying there for the rest of the year. And we found it, we just kind of alluded to everybody that one of the veterans actually took you under his wing. Tell us the story of what happened for the remainder of the year there.
Well, when I was playing, like Milt Schmidt told me, I didn't want me to live down in the Hant anymore. That's where all the single guys lived because Eddie was single and the other guys were single. And he says, whoever goes down there gets hurt. And I don't want you getting hurt, so I want you to stay in the hotel. So anyway, I stayed in the hotel. And it's kind of funny, you know, when you're, that hotel was not that great of a hotel, but it was, at least it was right there. And when I went to the games at night, or about 5 o'clock, you go over to the dressing room. You walk out of the hotel and you go down one flight of stairs. Then you walk the whole length of the whole rink, and you're walking under the ice surface to get to your dressing room where you got to go in. So
okay.
Quite a thing, because it's all dripping on your head and everything else. But it's quite a thing to think that you're walking under the ice surface. So it was quite cool. But anyway, yeah, Johnny Busick was the guy that took me under his hand. And I remember when we were at practice one morning, and a little pregame practice, and he said, what are you doing after? You're going to lay down? What are you going to do? And I said, well, I don't know. I've just got to go have a steak at the hotel here and then lay down for a while and come back to the rink. He said, well, why don't you come with me? He says, I go out to my house, and He says, quite a ways from here, but it's a neat drive. So anyway, so yeah, I could do that. So he says, well, take your clothes with you. So I did. And so we're driving around, and I have no idea where we're going. I'm completely lost in Boston. And we're driving around, and all of a sudden, he said, I got to pull in here from it. So he pulls into this restaurant bar. And he says, come on in. So I walked in with him. And Chief, you know, he's like a god in Boston. I mean, anybody says Johnny Busick in Boston, it's just like, holy cow. Yeah. You know Johnny Busick? So we walked anyway, and I met the owner of the place. And he says, John, what do you want? I know you can't have a drink. He said, do you want coffee or something? Anything you want, he says. And John says, no, he's not today. He said, he talked about a little bit about business he had there or whatever. And we talked and we left. And so John, he tells me, he says, you know, I go to that place for drinks after the game or after practice or anything. He says, I've never paid for anything in there yet. He says, everything is always free.
Yeah.
Because the following is pretty big with fans coming in and, you know, spending money and stuff like that. So it's a good thing. So anyway, we left there and we went down to his place. And he didn't have the greatest house in the world, but at least it was a house and a nice big acreage place. And so we had a steak and I met his wife, Ann, and really cool. And then he had an upstairs place where I went up and laid down, and so went and laid down and come back and put my suit on, and we left about, I don't know, 4:30, something. I'd come back to the rink and parked, and then of course the game again, we were playing, but the game was on. And so after the game he said, we got practice tomorrow morning or something, what are you doing? I said, well, I gotta just go back to the hotel. He says, come on down to my place, we'll have a beer down there, and come on down. He says, well, I think he just loved the company more than anything else, you know. With him, his wife, she jumps in the car, and we go down to his place and just talk and hockey and just everything, you know. And, you know, that was pretty cool. A big guy like Busick taking me in like that was just... And, you know, to think about it after what I was grown up with, like on a farm, you know, just with nothing, and then all of a sudden you're in a big city like Boston, it's quite a thing to put that in your mind to think, holy gee, that's pretty good, you know. So I was pretty fortunate to have a friend like him when I was up there.
Well, that's right. Actually, when I was just kind of just following up, reading a couple of things here, it was you and one other goaltender. You're the two youngest goaltenders in the NHL at the time at 21 or 22. Like everybody else was 30 or 40 or something like that at the time, right? So you guys were actually by far the youngest goaltenders in the league.
Yeah, there was like guys like Eddie Jockeman was in New York, and I think Johnny Bauer was in Toronto, and he was an old.
Yep.
And
Glenn Hall would be out there.
Glenn Hall with Chicago, and Terry Sawchuk was with Bauer in Toronto.
Yes.
The other goalie.
Yep.
And I don't know who else, but yeah, no, there was they're all pretty old. Yeah.
I found it interesting, actually. Do you think there was any other reasons that why, like, Johnny decided to take you under his wing? Like, do you think he had some reasons to help the team or something?
Well, I don't know. You know, I think it was kind of one of those things where I was a new guy in town, and he was kind of just taking care of me, wanted to make sure I was happy. And, you know, Johnny worked for the Boston Bruins. And, in fact, I think he still is. You know, the job he's got up in that press box up there. Not press box, but the box we had.
Yep.
He entertains people is all he does. With all the guests, he sits
he
there
takes
and
care of everybody.
Entertains you. Yeah. And I think that was the thing with, you know, the Bruins hired him. Right, he worked 40-some years for the Bruins.
Yep.
With 20 playing and then another 20 just, being on the, he was color guy on the radio for years, and then he got tired of that. And then, you know, I think he just took guys in and just wanted you to make you feel like you're at home and you're in a good place. But that Boston with those Bruins, man, I'm telling you, they're big people there. They're important people, I'll tell you.
Oh, yes. I was looking up just some information on Johnny Busick there when I was about to call you. He's actually got voted in as one of the 100 greatest NHL players of all time. That was in last year they had that list. He was 21 seasons in Boston, 5 years as captain. And in his little bio, and I'm going to put on the link to the website if anybody wants to look at it here, where they talk about Johnny Busick. But he actually was originally picked up in 1955 by Detroit. And interestingly enough, this kind of links it to your story here. He said Gordie Howe was who he looked up to. And he said Gordie Howe always looked after the younger players.
Yep.
And he said that's where he learned that from.
And that's true.
He said that's where he learned to take care of the younger players is because that's what Gordie Howe did when he was in Detroit, and that's what he always did. He would always protect and take care of the younger guys, and that's where Chief learned that.
Yeah. I think that's the truth, and that's the way he is. He's just he's a nice guy, John, you know. He's just a nice guy. You know, he never worries about a game when a game's coming up, but I'll tell you, he's a good leader.
Yep.
When he gets on that ice, he can lead you. He knows what's got to be done, and he can do it. He was never the fastest guy in the league, but he was very good. He's a very good hockey player.
Yeah. Well, they said his playing weight was 220 pounds, so he was a big boy out there.
Yep. He goes. Yep.
Oh yeah.
But he's sure a nice guy.
Oh, for sure. And I found it interesting, like you sort of alluded to. I don't know if everybody knows what you're talking to, but about 3 years ago, we went and did a family trip to Boston. It was kind of in celebration of 50 years since your first game in Boston. That's why we went out there. And Johnny Busick works for the Bruins, like you alluded, in the alumni suite. So when we got checked in to go to the alumni suite, it was Johnny that was actually there. And he basically hosted everybody there, just like he did all those other years.
That's exactly right. He sits right on the left-hand side. And the good thing that I like about the whole story is the first game we went to was Montreal.
Yep.
And we had eight of us there, so we had four tickets in the box, and then the other four had to sit outside. Just lots. Well, you sat there for a while outside there.
Yep.
And that was really cool. But we had a big case of beer sitting right there, and you're welcome to have beer anytime you want. So as you recall, when I had a beer and I popped a hit around the corner or something, or I walked out and I says, "Hey, how much you pay for your beer?" And he says, $10. I said, "Oh, Jesus, mine's free. That's too bad."
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Well, we quickly found the free stuff, didn't we?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we let you guys in later on. You guys all sat in there, and it was a pretty good thing to have. I'll have to tell you the story about Milt Schmidt, Milt Schmidt later on. It's pretty cool. We'll do that another day.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Yeah, no, I think that was really interesting. Like, a lot of people may not know who Johnny Busick is because, I mean, he played, I think it was from 55 to 78. So that's quite a long time ago. But he is essentially one of the top five Bruins, maybe for sure the top 10. Back then, he was definitely top five of Bruins of all time.
Yeah, they are. They're gods. I'm telling you, they're just like Busick. He'll be that way until the day he dies. If he goes back right now, he'll be a big hero there.
Well, and that's right. And, you know, Boston fans, they love their Bruins. And you know what? It was evident while we were there on our trip. I think it was evident that Johnny proved it back in 1963, the way that he took care of you as well. I think that was a great story there, Jackson. We'll wrap it up there. And what we'll do is we'll lead into next week. You were involved with one of the biggest trades of all time. And at the time, it was the biggest trade of all time. And we are going to get into that story next week.
Yeah, it was a good one. So we'll have to think a little more about that and give more information for you on it. I'll have to get back to you on that for next week. So that sounds good.
I think a lot of people know the story, but I think hopefully we can share a lot more details about the story, because obviously it's one of the most important trades of all time in the NHL. So I think it was pretty fascinating you were part of it, and we will share that story next week.
Perfect.
Okay. Well, thanks, Jackson, and we'll talk to you next week.
You bet.
Okay. Yeah, bye. Well, that ends episode 3 of Jack Unmasked, where Jack learns the value of leadership off the ice. If you would like to be notified of the next podcast released each Friday, go to www.nccag.ca. Click on the podcast tab, enter your email address, and click subscribe, and you'll be notified of the next podcast. You're also able to leave comments, and I'm sure Jack would love to hear from any of you about what you think about some of his podcasts we've been creating. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
Walking under the ice surface to get to your dressing room. Johnny Busick was the guy in Chief Field. He's like a god in Boston. I was pretty fortunate to have a friend like him. He worked 40-some years for the Bruins. Big guy like Busick taking me in like that. He's just a nice guy.